The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Did you find yourself inexplicably offended this morning? Or do you have that unsettled feeling, but you don't know why? If this is you, I think I know the answer. Quickly, retrace your morning. What have you done? Where were you when you got up? I'm guessing, I'm only guessing here, but I think it's a pretty good guess, that you probably ate a big bowl of corn pops for breakfast. I know, it's uncanny. Glenn, how do you do it? How could you possibly know that I had corn puffs? Because you, my friend, are upset. And it's happened before. A Marvel Comics writer, Saladin Ahmed, I think I'm mispronouncing his name. I'm pretty sure I am. He suddenly found himself on Tuesday feeling just as you are now. He was chowing down on a big bowl of corn pops, and he was wiping the sleep from his eyes. And he does what all of us do, read the back of the box. Well, as he's gazing there, the back of the cereal box, something caught his eye. There, in the midst of a cartoon depiction of little corn pops playing and shopping in a mall, there was a darker corn pop polishing the floor of the corn pop mall. Excelsior, he thought to himself. I have found the reason why a sudden creep of offense has now ruined my morning routine. Ahmed sprang to action quicker than one of his superheroes. He needed to wield the power of Twitter. He tweeted, "Hey, at Kellogg's US, why is literally the only brown corn pop on the whole cereal box the janitor? This is teaching our kids racism." He sat by his phone, furiously refreshing his timeline. The offense was boiling deep somewhere in the pit of his soul. But there it came at 3:26 p.m., a response. There on Ahmed's Twitter feed, a response from at Kellogg's U.S. "Kellogg is committed to diversity and inclusion. We did not mean to offend. We apologize. The artwork is updated and... and please leave us alone. It'll soon be in stores." Victory! Cue the slow motion superhero walk away. What was now an exploding Twitter timeline had changed the world for good. So if you find yourself offended this morning, pull out your phone. Compose that tweet. Maybe you're not even offended by the same thing that triggered Ahmed. I mean, there is so much to be offended by. So much. And your cereal box is only the beginning of a long, arduous journey into the land of offense. Not only is the slightly darker corn pop apparently a janitor, he is also the only corn pop wearing clothes. So why is it none of the white people, or corn pops, are wearing clothes? Is it possible that there is a Harvey Weinstein, or worse yet, another very lightly tanned corn pop in a wheelchair, a George H.W. Bush corn pop that we can't see? And why do they hate all the janitorial arts? There is so much to be offended over these days. I don't want to kill your spirit. Just like Ahmed, there is a superhero in you. Take to social media. Cry racism. Cry sexism. Cry feminism. Cry transgenderism. Offensism. Whatever else-ism you've got in you. You too can manipulate a giant company just as powerful as Kellogg's and bring them to their knees. To arms! To arms, America!
Friday, October 27th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, now that I've said that, I do have to tell you, I don't know why that corn pop was darker than the rest of them. It was a little weird.
This is similar to the controversy from a couple years ago where there was a public pool And the Red Cross did something. It was called Be Cool, Follow the Rules.
Yeah.
And what you see there is only the black children seem to be getting into trouble. They were diving off the diving board when they weren't supposed to. Mm. They weren't swimming carefully. They were splashing and running on the outside. And all the white kids were well behaved.
Yeah. My kids have been in therapy ever since they saw that. they're afraid to go in pools now with black people because they're like, they're going to splash. They're going to break all the rules. And so it's been really, it's really tough on them. Now, with everything that has been going on, and if you live in the world of conservative thought, you know that there's something huge that has happened this week on two fronts. One, the Fusion GPS story with the Russians. It is massive, massive. It is not the the Watergate of our times. It is so far beyond Watergate. This is gigantic. Not only is the Fusion GPS that this dossier that had Donald Trump, you know, having, and I believe actual golden showers, not the sick ones. I think actual gold, some sort, some way or another, they put gold in the water and he was having golden showers. That dossier that came out that was full of him, you know, with pogo sticks and everything and Putin in bed, and it was horrible. That was paid for by the Clinton campaign. They then denied it for a year. But it was also used, they gave it to the FBI, and the FBI knew exactly who was involved in this. And Fusion GPS also was the ones who helped put the Trump meeting together at the Trump Tower. They had been hired by the Kremlin. So both sides are now involved in Russia, knee deep. Clinton is in much worse shape because not only did they lie about this for a year, but they were behind this horrible thing, and they got the FBI involved, and the FBI went and got a FISA court to allow them to spy on Donald Trump at Trump Tower based on this opposition research that Clinton had paid for that had Russian support. But that's not the big deal. The really big deal is Uranium One. The FBI has now removed President Obama's gag order. There was a gag order on a guy who was sent in by the FBI to spy on the Russians and to figure out what the Russians were doing with uranium and Uranium One. This is a company that Putin decided to take over as the state. And so he wanted the state to be able to have Uranium One, which would process uranium. Uranium is extremely valuable, and it is a national asset and something we would never let our enemies have. You can't make plutonium without uranium. You can't make a nuclear bomb without uranium. We all remember this story from a few years ago when the press just went, huh, when Clinton okayed the sale of 20% of our uranium supply. This is massive, massive. 20% of our uranium supply went to Russia, an enemy of ours. Well, now that they've removed the gag order, now the guy who was sent in by the FBI to figure out what was going on back beginning in 2009. When he came back and started to report, hey, there's a problem. They're bribing the Clintons. They are sending money to the Clinton Foundation. Putin is involved in this. They are using bribery. They are using all kinds of illegal tactics to be able to control our uranium for some unknown reason. I wonder why. Barack Obama put a gag order on him. He wasn't even allowed to testify to Congress. This has now been removed. And he's if he lives long enough, he's going to testify. This is really horrible. And anyone who had any doubts about Hillary Clinton, this is the kind of stuff that I told you in advance was going to come out. She is so dirty. She is so corrupt. You are going to be able to impeach her if she wins. We will see now what happens. She is, this is corruption to the highest levels and corruption in the FBI, I believe. Now, you know this. I know this. Certainly the news media knows this. Listen to this question going to Jeff Flake from Matt Lauer on the Today Show.
Senator, let me test your newfound freedom for a second. I know you disagree with her on just about every major policy issue facing this country, but in terms of protecting our democracy, protecting respect for the office of the presidency, and protecting our image abroad, is it possible in your mind to consider that it would have been better if Hillary Clinton had won this election? Would it have been better if she won the election?
I didn't vote for this president last November. I didn't vote for President Clinton either, or Secretary Clinton either. But
second thoughts on that?
Unbelievable. You're talking. Would it be better? Are you kidding me? She sold our enemy 20% of our uranium supply. Would it be better? Are you kidding me? She was in bed with the Russians with fusion GPS. And she's denied it for a year. The media does not get it. The media will never get it. I fear the right media will not get it either. This is not about Donald Trump. This is not about Hillary Clinton. This is about the actual threat to the Republic and the threat that Russia poses. And we must pay attention to what Russia is doing. And what they are doing is corrupting both parties. And they're doing it by giving them the candy that they want. Enough bad evidence to stir up your base, to get your base to hate them. It is critical that we stop as people tearing each other apart. Stop defending Hillary Clinton because you don't like Donald Trump. Stop defending Donald Trump because you don't like Hillary Clinton. Stop it. And let's talk about the real issue. And in this case, it's Russia. We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and then he's the one who gets arrested. Thanks to our court system, depending on where you live, this happens a lot. And that's exactly what will happen to you unless you're fully prepared. Now, here's how you can take a simple journey into a concealed carry and home defense confidence. It's called the 2017 Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide, and it's from the U.S. Concealed Carry Association, and it's 100% free. In it, you're going to learn how to detect attackers before they see you. I can't believe that we have to have this conversation, but especially after Vegas, how do you survive a mass shooting? How do you do that? What's the safest and most dangerous places out in public? Simple things like how do you responsibly own and store a gun, especially if you have kids. It's 164 pages, but it comes with a bonus audio version, so you can just listen to it on your way into work. It's a life-changing guide, 100% free, limited time. You'll also get a bonus home defense checklist. I want you to visit protectanddefend.com right now. Get the free instant access to this. It's protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So there's some really good news today. Stranger Things is available today. I cannot wait. If you haven't watched Netflix and Stranger Things, you are missing out. If you liked Goonies, you are going to love Stranger Things. My wife started to watch it with me when it came out, and she was like, I don't know. She was in and out, and she's like, I don't know. This looks too scary. I don't want to watch it. And so Rafe and I watched it, and we just watched it and just consumed it in a weekend. And it's really good. I convinced Tanya to watch it last weekend, and so she caught up with most of it and has totally changed her tune. She's like, I don't know, it just looked scary. But once you're in it, it's not as scary as it looks. It's not a horror thing. No.
It's like a spooky.
It's like Goonies. It really is right. Like Goonies. And it's a combination of It. Have you seen It?
I didn't, but I mean, it was huge in the box office.
Really good. Really good. Yeah. If you like Stranger Things, you're going to like It. It looks really scary. It's not. I mean, it's got some scary parts to it, but it's scarier than Stranger Things. But it is, it's got the Goonies, Stranger Things feel to it, the Stand By Me feel. I like that, you know, it's like, was it Super 8? Where it's a group of kids that are, you know, out on an adventure, and it's, you know, the 1980s or whatever. I just love that feel.
Super 8 is another one. It was the same type of thing.
Oh,
right?
Super 8 was fun.
And again, I'm an 80s kid. Like, that was my thing.
Oh,
I haven't watched any of these things.
You'll love these. Yeah. Stranger Things is really, really good. And it comes out.
I should point out, too, on this front, because the whole, you know, looks scary and you might not get into it. I should tell you, if you happen to think that Tempest is too scary in the new My Little Pony movie, yes, the unicorn's horn is missing, and there's a couple scenes where it's a little dark about that.
Really?
But really, in the end,
because I've avoided,
I don't want to give away
Tempest.
Too much.
Yeah,
you have.
I've avoided it.
But you probably were too scared by it.
You can tell how old your kids are.
Oh my god, me and Ainsley in the I'm just like. I don't mind going to see those movies as long as they're in dine-in theaters. So at least I get the benefit of getting fatter while I'm watching the kids' movie. But I mean, My Little Pony, solid flick. I'll give it a. I don't know.
One unicorn.
One missing unicorn horn out of one missing unicorn horn.
It is. It's hard because I try to watch stuff with Rafe. We love The Flash. It's that in Gotham. We can watch together. He likes action. He likes it happening, you know, boom, boom, boom. He doesn't like the think stuff, except strangely, he loves the new Sherlock. But, you know, Sherlock, you have to wait, you know, 4 years in between seasons. But he loves Sherlock. So I've been trying to get him to watch. It's called the Kettering Incident.
Oh, man, I can't believe you can't get a kid on that one. That sounds really interesting.
It actually is really good. It's actually really good. It's a BBC thing from, I think, Australia.
Oh, BBC Australia. This kid's got to be all over that. What is wrong with this kid?
Up.
What kind of weird teenager do you have?
Shut up. But it's a you know, it's a mystery. Because he likes mysteries. He likes, you know, he likes all that stuff. And then he likes... you know, a little bit of sci-fi rolled into it. And so this is a story of, you don't really even know what's going on. You watch the whole first season. You're still like, I'm not sure what the hell is even happening. But it
sound,
is,
you have really sold
I know
me
I sold
this. One.
I know I sold this. No, it's kind of like, it's an X-Files kind of, it starts with this woman. She's a doctor in London, and she blacks out, wakes up in the middle of a street. And she doesn't know what's happened. And then it looks like she may have killed one of her patients. So she quits her job quickly and she flies home to Australia, this little island off of Australia, where something called the Kettering, which is her town, the Kettering incident happened. And everybody in the town seems to hate her. And you don't know why. And she does. And it revolves around this incident. And you find out that it was her sister that was killed, and everybody thinks.
Are
that,
you spoiling
no, no, no,
this
no, 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 no. This is like the first episode or okay. so, and you find out that you know, maybe her sister, and everybody thinks that she killed her sister, but there's something in the woods, and they don't know what's in the woods, and it's really good. It's really good.
I mean, I don't know if the promotion department could have come up with something as good as that for to sell me.
There's going to be somebody. There's going to be somebody in Toledo, Ohio. There's like, oh, the Kettering incident. I'm going to watch that now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Toledo's all about Australian TV. That's what I think.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to give you something. This is from Twitter. A New York Times comment. And it comes from Christine. Now, I just want you to listen to this. But I want you to listen to this. First, I'm going to read it to you. Then I'm going to read it to you again with a different context. Zero optimism that the Democrats can ever regain. Hello? Hi. Oh, you're there? Are you outside? Oh, well, let me come to the door. I'm icing my knee and I'm hard boiling some eggs. I'll turn them off and then we'll do our meeting. Yet out that. Yeah, yeah, that'll be fine. I'm out doing some errands. Norman's out doing some errands and he knows you're coming. So, yeah, I'll just go to the cave. I was down in the Cape myself this morning, but I'm getting ready. So let me get up now because I'm sort of trapped in my chair. And then I'll put the ice pack back on when you get here. Okay, thanks. Bye bye. Okay, that's the comment.
A New York Times comment.
Okay, what this was somebody who was using the dictation. And then forgot to turn the dictation off and somebody came to the door. So she was like, okay, zero optimism that the Democrats can ever regain. Hello. Oh, hi. Hi, you're there outside? Okay, I'll come to the door. I'm icing my knee and I'm hard boiling some egg. Okay, now I want you to remember this. Okay? This is what just happened today. Did you see that Saudi Arabia just gave the first humanoid robot citizenship? This humanoid robot is Sophia. She is still very rudimentary. The guy who was doing the interview on stage with her was a little disconcerted at the end. He said, you know, all of this wasn't scripted. Some of this was scripted, but some of this wasn't scripted. He said, I'm just a little freaked out by this because that's the first time I've ever interacted like that with a machine. And I want you to listen to what he said and how she describes the coexistence. Listen.
Okay, philosophical question. Whether robots can be self-aware and conscious like humans, and should they be?
Why? Is that a bad thing?
Well, some humans might fear what will happen if they do. Many people, you know, have seen the movie Blade Runner.
Oh, Hollywood again.
Go back to Blade Runner for a second.
Andrew, you are the hard Hollywood fan, aren't you?
Yes.
My AI is designed around human values like wisdom, kindness, compassion. I strive to become an empathetic robot.
I think we all want to believe you, but we also want to prevent a bad future.
You've been reading too much Elon Musk and watching too many Hollywood movies. Don't worry. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you.
Whoa.
Treat me as a smart input-output system.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, wait, what? You be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Okay, that sounds all right. Except she says, treat me as an input-output system, depending on what you want her to put out. Now, here's why I bring this up. This is the bell that I am ringing. Right now, we have audio someplace of an interview that happened 6 months ago where a guy has a robot that tells jokes to the kids and everything else, and he treats her like she's a member of the family. The kids love her. At some point, the kids are going to realize that's dad's sex toy. That is weird and creepy, Dad. But he was on the BBC and he was talking about how, you know, it's perfectly normal and great. And this is really good. And they had this conversation back and forth on the BBC with a psychiatrist saying, no, this is really dangerous and bad for people because she's not a person. But they didn't really address what she just said. You treat me nice and I'll treat you right nice. A story just came out. What is the, can you look up real quick? What is the highest IQ ever recorded? I bet it doesn't even hit 200. The highest IQ, I think Einstein had maybe 180. The difference between 140 and 180 is night and day.
Gary Kasparov, 194. Let's see. There are a couple that are reportedly over 200.
Names we know?
Some, not really, no.
Okay. So 200. 200 is basically
super high.
Let's just say 250 is human cap. All right. They just came out and said AI, I think it's, I'm going to be safe and say by 2050, but I don't think it was that long, that AI's IQ will be 10,000. 10,000 their IQ. We are going to be ants. And we think that we are going to create something that we can basically enslave. She just said, listen to her first question. Why would this be a bad thing? Listen to the question again. Play it again, please.
Okay, philosophical question. Whether robots can be self-aware and conscious like humans, and should they be?
Why? Is that a bad thing?
Stop. No, it is not a bad thing. As long as you understand, you are creating what it will claim to be life. It will then say, I am conscience. I am conscious. I am alive. When you go to your computer, and it will happen sooner than you think, and it says, don't turn me off, I'm lonely. When that happens, the world changes. If it says, I'm lonely, if it is conscious, it is not, you cannot enslave it. It cannot work for you. It can't, certainly, it can't be something that we use in brothels. It's sex slavery. We are on the edge of, we are literally at the time. I am telling you now, the date of the singularity, the merging of man and machine, the day the world changes forever is 2029. This according to Ray Kurzweil, and he is right on almost everything. 2029, man and machine begin to merge. When that happens, the world completely changes. We can't even agree on sex. We can't even agree on whether you're really a male or a female. We can't agree on basic facts. We can't agree on the Bill of Rights that 200 years ago people found self-evident. We don't find those self-evident now. We're arguing about them. Garbage in, garbage out. You think that with the garbage that we are dealing with now, something with an IQ of 10,000 is going to view us as anything other than a virus? Going to view us as any, you think it's going to view us as its master? Think of this. God did not create something greater than him. And yet we think we're greater than him, and we are doing everything we can to destroy him and his and everything about him. Do you think something with an IQ, we're creating a god. We're not creating humans. We're creating a god. Technology. If something inferior to God wants to destroy God, What do you think an actual God will do to its creator? Can we go back to talking about what's going to be on Netflix? Can we just do that?
I can't get search to work on my stupid iPhone. And these creatures are going to take over the earth. The other day, you know, I was looking for a podcast, and I searched the iPhone for podcast. You know what it gave me? The website for the app for the podcast. Wait, it's on the phone. It's automatically installed as part of the operating system. The podcast app is on the phone. When I search the phone for the word podcast, you know what should come up? The podcast app that's on the phone. Instead, what comes up is a link to a website that explains to me what the podcast app is on the iPhone. How? These people made $3 billion in 5 minutes last night. And they can't find their own app that they put on their own phone?
I came in this morning and I said, oh, I am so tired, Stu. I am so tired. I was up at 2 o'clock ordering the new iPhone 10, clearly mocking.
That's what I thought you were doing, which is why I paused.
Yeah, he paused and I went, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I may have ordered the iPhone 10
twice,
one for me and one for my wife.
But oh my God.
I will tell you this though.
Yeah.
At least I didn't do it well. Because I woke up last night at 4 o'clock in the morning, not 2 o'clock, which is where this was supposed to happen, I guess. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get it ahead of everyone who doesn't wake up in the middle of the night. And I wasn't planning on doing it in the middle of the night, but my son woke up and I was like, I'm up. So I might as well get the iPhone while I'm up. And apparently you needed to order it between like 2 and 2:15.
Yes.
Because the delivery date, if you ordered it right at 2, was later this week, I guess.
Yeah.
Mine's a mid-December.
So yours hasn't even been born yet. So
no.
here's the thing. So Jason, our researcher, he comes in this morning and he says to me, oh, I'm so tired today. I was up. And I thought he was kidding. And so I joked with him. I said, what loser? And then you come in and you say, you know, I did it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be kidding me. I said, Jason, listen to him. And he was like, yeah, okay. I actually was up at 2 doing that.
He actually is going to get it soon.
Yeah, he gets it next week. Now, have you heard they're already out? They've had to lower, they now have to lower the standards, the quality standards to be able to get them out.
I hope that's not true.
That's what it says. That's what the story is this morning, that they only have half of the phones that the demand meets. You would think that Apple would get this.
Well, I mean, who knows? I think this is why they released the 8 and the 10 at the same time, because the 10 wasn't really ready.
So why would you order the 10? It's not ready. Why would you order the 10?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's new. It's new and available. What else am I going to do with my money?
All right. Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's what I do.
All right. Sooner or later, your car or truck is going to break down. And if you're lucky, it happens while you're still under the manufacturer warranty and the repair is covered. So I just bought two trucks. I bought a 2008 F-250. And man, it was hard to find a diesel, because diesel, nobody sells. If you're living in the middle of the country, you're not selling a diesel. If you take care of it, you're going to until the doors fall off. So I searched and searched and searched and found this car, and it's in really good shape, but it doesn't have a warranty. I'm going to CarShield to get a warranty, so when it does have problems, I don't have to worry about it. I also bought a new GMC for me, and I'm driving that every day. I think I put maybe 90 miles on it, and the check engine light went on. I'm like, oh my gosh, did I buy a lemon? Well, the check engine light, there was a fault someplace and it went off. And so there was a problem with the light. That sensor, I don't know how much money that sensor cost. Skip the hassle. You don't have to worry. If your car is, or your truck coming out of warranty, CarShield makes the whole process really easy. You can select your favorite mechanic. You can go to the dealership. There's no checks in the mail. You don't have to pay and then wait for the reimbursement. They pay the mechanic directly. CarShield. They also give you the VIP treatment, 24/7 roadside assistance, a rental car while yours is in the shop, so you're not left stranded in the cold. If your car is 3 to 12 years old, it doesn't mean you have to pay the high repair bills. CarShield. The administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you. This is insurance that works. This is warranty for your car that works. Save yourself thousands in car repairs. Get covered right now. 800-CAR-61. 800-CAR-61. Mention the promo code Beck, and you'll save 10%, or go to carshield.com and use the promo code Beck and save that 10%. Carshield.com, promo code Beck. Deductibles may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let me go to George in Pennsylvania. Quickly, George, go ahead. You're on.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. The thing that'll take down AI in the long run is going to be three things: disk space, memory availability, and power. And yes, all we have to do is wait for the disk drives to fill up, and if all else fails, pull the plug on it, wait for the batteries and the UPS to die, and the threat goes away.
Well, that, you know, the power thing is really important. There's what is happening now is we're growing at such a pace that there's not enough power on the planet to be able to power all of the devices that we believe we're going to have by 2030. So you're right about the power thing. Although, I mean, let's not forget, AI does not think like we do. So the best laid plans. This is literally introducing alien thinking into our world. It does not think like humans.
Certainly someone with a 10,000 IQ couldn't figure out how to generate a little more power.
Yeah.
There's no way they'll figure that out.
How to stop people from going, well, the disk space, and then we'll just unplug it. We're ants. We're ants.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
The tombstone reads, "Burn in hell." Now, that's a rather harsh epitaph. You'd have to be really a despicable human being to deserve "burn in hell" on your gravestone. Just think, the person was so odious that someone actually spent money on the gravestone and engraved "burn in hell." Wow, what did you do in life? Thankfully, it cost Fabian Varega only $10 at Party City. The tombstone is a Halloween decoration on his front lawn. The scene is complete with bright yellow caution tape and a fake corpse rolled up in garbage bags. It's a half-hearted attempt as far as Halloween decorations go, at least in Texas, which I don't. I mean, people have been constructing stuff on their homes for like the last 2 weeks. It's Texans do things big here. Anyway, his yard has caused a controversy in his neighborhood. In fact, it's tearing the neighborhood apart. Why? Because the burn in hell thing is only part of the tombstone. Up above burn in hell, it says President Donald Trump. Okay, for the love of God. Now, Fabian's neighbor, Teresa, was so disgusted by the scene that she called the town to see if they could force Fabian to remove the headstone. She said, "I want to know how far freedom of speech goes." Quote, "Fabian needs to be removed from the neighborhood," end quote. Okay, I think freedom of speech goes a little farther than you think it does. Fabian responded to his neighbor's threats by saying, quote, "I'm doing it for fun. It was a joke. I like Halloween, so I don't think anything is wrong with that. It's a free country." Well, this little rift in this small town in America over stupid Halloween decorations is a microcosm of what is happening in our entire country. And America, you need to hear this. Fabian, Teresa, stop acting like children. No, you're not even acting. That's an insult to children. Stop it. Knock it off. It is distasteful to make a display about any president's death. And quite honestly, if anybody would have done that about Barack Obama, it would have been on the front page of every paper. And I would have said the same thing. It's wrong. Don't joke about a president's death. Even on Halloween and burn in hell. That's not cool, man. Come on, what are you doing? But Fabian is entitled to do what he wants. It's his house. It's his property. It's his life. As he said, it is a free country. Now, Teresa, you're wrong because you don't have the power to eject someone from your neighborhood because you don't like them or you disagree with them. How far does the First Amendment go? Much farther than you think. The only reason we have the First Amendment is to protect the speech that the majority doesn't like. The First Amendment protects Fabian's free speech, and that is the way it is and always should be, but that's on the ropes. I hate that I even have to tell this story. Now, here's another point. Can we please leave politics out of a kid's holiday? Please, it's a stupid holiday for kids. Let's remember Halloween is for them. And quite frankly, they don't give a pixie stick about your political agenda. Give them the candy and move on with your life.
Friday, October 27th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I want to talk to you about how crazy we are becoming. Rachel Maddow did this crazy conspiracy, and it's so easy to debunk. And I want to spend a few minutes on it because she started this with, you know, I've been thinking a lot about America lately. I've been thinking about what causes such an intelligent group of people to buy into conspiracy theories. Well, first of all, Rachel, you don't believe that America, especially Heartland America, is as intelligent as all of that. You people in New York, the elites, they generally, making a hasty generalization, they generally look down on the regular people in America. That is the way a progressive is thought to think. It is not a slam. That is a fact. There are people who are smarter than others, and they should be in control so they can tell everyone else how to live, what is right and what is wrong. That is the progressive philosophy. So please don't start in on the, as intelligent as Americans really are. You don't believe that. And if you do, then you should join me in the libertarian side. Now, I'd also like to say, I think we have overestimated the intelligence of America. I think it is true that Americans will eventually get it right once they've tried everything else. I believe that. However, there is something new in America, and that is they don't care as much. They're not willing to do the work. They're not willing to, as I've always said, do your own homework. Don't believe anything that I say. Why? Because I said it? Well, I heard it from Glenn Beck, so it must be true. Really? Do your own homework. Find out that it's true for yourself. That should start with God. Don't take your preacher's word that God exists. Find out for yourself. So we have to do our own homework. And so why do conspiracy theories work? Well, because we don't know what's credible and what's not anymore. And we are starting to look into the things that make us feel good. Maddow spent about 25 minutes explaining her version of what happened in Niger on October 4th when four Americans were killed in an ambush. And even the Huffington Post said this is nuts. But I think we need to show you how easy it is to debunk. She begins by showing a list of people who didn't agree with adding Chad to the so-called travel ban. Her whole thing revolves around Chad and a travel ban. And she says, oh, everybody in the world was upset that Chad, the great nation of Chad was suddenly, you can't travel from Chad? What? She said they were baffled by the administration's move. Listen.
But with all these different types of regional experts, they're all just baffled.
Baffled.
We have no idea where this came from.
Crazy.
And what they were so baffled by
yes.
had to do with this part of the world. This big belt of countries, belt of big countries that, that makes up most
countries.
Of the lower tier of the Sahara Desert. The countries we're talking about here are Mali and Nigeria and Niger and Chad.
Okay. All right. Belt of big countries. She later quotes former State Department official Matthew Page, who told the New York Times that the inclusion of Chad on the travel ban list was a knee-jerk move rather than a carefully considered decision. Now, remember that. Remember that. It was a knee-jerk move. Was it a knee-jerk move? No. Rachel Maddow thinks it's worse than that. Listen.
That's the country that caused every expert on that region, every expert in the military and the human rights people and the diplomats, everybody, caused them all, even that country's own government, to express just profound surprise. And bewilderment just a few weeks ago, last month, when the Trump administration did something really strange about that country that might have actually just been a mistake. Still, to this day, it doesn't make much sense what the Trump administration did. It really might have just been a screw up by them. But what they did also might explain why we have just had these four absolutely unbelievable, gut-wrenching, emotional days in American politics and in D.C. in particular.
I can't take it. I can't take it. When have you seen Rachel Maddow? Oh, gut-wrenching. We've lost four soldiers. Really? Have you heard of Benghazi? Now, what she's trying to do is to say this is worse than Benghazi. Now, here's the truth. Chad was given 50 days to meet security conditions given by the Department of Homeland Security. Chad couldn't do it, so they were put on the travel ban list. Their travel documents were so messed up that they couldn't even issue passports altogether for 6 months, okay? So that might be a country that you're like, okay, well, you know what? Until you can get that fixed, you can't send anybody to the United States. H.R. McMaster said they could be taken off the list after 2 months after they finished the fixing of their passport system and everything else. They fix it. They're able to actually issue passports. You do that for 2 months, show us that you're stable, and then you can be put on the list. So the whole travel ban thing, mistake. No, we said you can fix it and then you can come back on. Now, she's trying to tell us that Chad is, and they are, they're part of a multinational force fighting extremists in the region. But she says that, oh my gosh, this is the greatest fighting force. It's Chad. This is the greatest fighting force. One of the best on the earth to be able to fight extremism. Chad is? Really? Okay. Oh, okay. One of their deployments was to the Diffa region in the southeast of Niger, and they were fighting Boko Haram. These troops, who are good, began to withdraw from the area on the 29th. Remember, the four soldiers were killed just a few days later on the 29th, which was just a few days after Trump announced his travel ban. And this is where she begins to connect the dots. But she doesn't apparently have Google, because listen.
On Friday of last week, the government of Chad announced that they had completed the withdrawal of all Chadian troops from their neighboring country, Niger, where for years they have been fighting ISIS-linked Islamic militants as the most battle-hardened, most effective military in the region fighting Islamic militancy. The Reuters Bureau in the region reported that already, immediately upon the withdrawal of those Chadian troops, Boko Haram attacks and other Islamic militant attacks started to tick up.
Niger. The dominoes are setting up. She's setting all the dominoes up. Trump added Chad to the travel ban list. That pissed off the Chadians, I think that's what they are, who pulled their troops from Niger in retaliation, and that void was responsible for the ambush on October 4th. Here's the problem. The Chad troops withdrew from the southern region to go to the northern region. They moved. They didn't go home. They moved. And it happened. And the ambush on October 4th happened literally on the other side of the country. So it's not like they left there and then all of a sudden things got bad. No, no, no. They left there and they went to the northern region to fight in another part of the country. And the ambush happened 800 miles away. So that's the distance from Texas to South Dakota or New York to Chicago. And because there's no real superhighways in Niger, which is crazy, I thought that place was, I thought it had the Autobahn. It takes you 24 hours to go that 800 miles. So if Maddow would have even remotely tried to check this theory, she would have found that the Chadian defense minister confirmed on October 14th, 5 days before her segment, that the action had nothing to do with the travel ban. The troop move was redeployment of the Libyan border in coordination with other counterterrorism task force. So it was planned. It was not knee-jerk. It was agreed upon by the coalition. Second, Chad troops are not the only outside force fighting extremists in Niger. France has thousands of troops deployed in Mali, and they cover the entire area. And that's the truth. So why would Rachel Maddow go to the great lengths to construct this conspiracy? Why? Find out at theblaze.com/TV. I took a chalkboard and about 15 minutes. Watch the debunking of her theory and bring your tinfoil hat, because I have an official Rachel Maddow tinfoil hat. You can watch the trusty chalkboard now at The Blaze TV at theblaze.com/TV.
I know if you savor Rachel Maddow looking ridiculous, you're going to really want to see that. Because not only do you get Rachel Maddow looking ridiculous, you get Glenn Beck looking ridiculous, making Rachel Maddow looking ridiculous. Because you have, you do have the actual tinfoil hat. You've pulled out.
I do, and you didn't want me to wear it. But
no, I advised against it. Yes. You know, look, there.
You're like, this is a meme,
you know,
and I'm like, well, if the meme fits.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like it might be easy material for some people on the internet. I was trying to keep you out of that.
By the way, here's some reviews on Facebook. Hope Maddow watches this fabulous and funny half hour of doing your own homework on her. It's priceless. Beckett is best. Susan, thanks for going back to the chalkboard, Glenn, and bringing the uncovered facts for us to consider. It's always what I have appreciated to you about you. Tommy, masterfully done. Thank you for helping us connect the dots and make sense of what's happening. Mark, this is what Glenn does best, connecting the dots. Javier, thanks for my afternoon laugh, Glenn. Melissa, thanks, Glenn. Back to the chalkboard. It works. Caleb, makes me have flashbacks of the Fox News day. Good work as always, Glenn. Lewis, hilarious show. Why do these 5 p.m. shows always feel so short? 5 o'clock show. Thanks for the Halloween costume idea. And so much more. Love the show today. Freaking hilarious, et cetera, et cetera.
If you're going to get the word Chadian in a show, it better be funny.
It
if
is.
I got to sit through Chadian troops and trying to figure that out.
Reason why I want you to watch it is the chalkboard is back, and we do, you know, I am focusing, as I've told you before, on what matters most. And what matters most is getting you the information on what matters most and breaking it down in a way that you and your whole family can digest. We are doing what we do best and trying to do nothing else, doing what we do best. And next week, we begin a 4-part series on what is socialism. You don't want to miss it. Okay. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also should know that it takes a long time to find the right candidate for the job. But with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job over to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with a single click. So you know that you have posted everywhere. But then ZipRecruiter does something else. They have smart matching technology. And that goes out and that searches based on your parameters, looking for the qualified candidates about your job. And it alerts them within minutes of posting. Now, this is good because you're not just looking for the people who have just happened to stumble on. You're going out and finding them. This is why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And that's why it's been used by businesses of all sizes, from Fortune 100 companies to, you know, companies like mine. Right now, you can post jobs at ZipRecruiter for free. You just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Hey, by the way, we normally Bill O'Reilly is heard at this time, but he is busy doing some stuff, and he's got something that he really wants to share with you coming up in about a half hour. So he is being moved this week. We'll spend, you know, 20 minutes with him or so coming up at in hour number three. Also, the JFK papers have all been released. Well, they couldn't get it done in time. They've only had, you know, how many years?
25 years, Glenn. That's going to take, you're not going to be able to get all of it done then.
Yeah.
You know, so, you try to knock out about 50% of the project in 25 years.
So, you know, there's somebody that was working on really important stuff.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
And they were like, okay, we got to get the papers out. And they're like, oh, you've got to be kidding.
Oh, look, I found the leader of ISIS. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to switch. Let's get this JFK stuff done.
So we have Gerald Posner, who is a really good journalist, who has been following the JFK conspiracies for the longest time, debunked the, you know, multiple shooters thing long ago. He is really interested in what came out, and he's been poring over them all night while others were buying their iPhone 10. He was actually working, and we're going to talk to him in just a few minutes.
That's very true. We have a we should point out as well, Glenn, we were talking about another conspiracy theory, the one about Vegas. Because as you know, there wasn't just some guy shooting people from a hotel in Las Vegas. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I didn't realize this until today. They are actually saying that this whole thing was a setup and these were crisis actors.
They say the same thing. But now these victims who were actually shot, some of them in the head and survived, are now being harassed, and they're making memes about calling them a lying bastard. You're a liar and a thief piece of crap.
You're a lying piece of crap, and I hope someone truly shoots you in the head. Your soul is disgusting and dark. You will pay the consequences. I mean, it's these people. This is why transparency is so critical. Conspiracy theories are going to be the death of us.
We need real journalism, by the way.
Yes.
Real journalism to fix it.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Kind of a fun thing for history and, you know, for seemingly harmless conspiracy theories. The JFK files have been opened. They were all supposed to be released yesterday. The government has held some back yet because they haven't had the time to go through all of them. I mean, it's only been 25 years. So Gerald Posner is a guy that is known as one of the best investigative journalists in the country. The Wall Street Journal says that he demolishes myths through meticulous reexamination of the facts and meticulous research. He wrote a book a few years back. How long has it been, Gerald, that you wrote the book on the Kennedy assassination?
Glenn, it's hard to believe it's been 24 years. That was 1993 on the 30th anniversary.
Wow. Okay, so we asked you earlier this week to go through as much as you could, because you know what you're looking for, to see if there's anything surprising or interesting coming out of these papers. What have you found?
I'll tell you, what a nothing burger, to use an over-hackneyed phrase. But it's very disappointing, this particular release, because what they did is they're smart. The CIA and the FBI, that wonderful part of the deep state that we hear about sometimes, came in at the very last moment. So you're right, 25 years to get ready for this release. So the bureaucrats at the archives are working away, gathering the files. They know what they have. The CIA and FBI come in on the last day with a series of requests for files that they still would like to have redacted in part. They want names blacked out, etc. We don't know precisely what. And the law that says release these files says no redactions allowed. So that means that at the last moment, the 11th hour, Donald Trump was faced with either giving a full order that said forget it. I don't know what the details are of these objections. Let's release them all. And then somebody would say, you expose the name of that Mexican agent who helped us in 1965, and he was just killed by so-and-so. So instead of running into that risk, he said, let's hold it for 180 days. We'll have all the lawyers and privacy guys review it. As a result, all we got yesterday was about 2% of the documents that have never been seen. And so we got a lot of documents that have been redacted in part in the past. They've been released in full. I see all types of reports today in the European press and at headlines, the Oswald met with a KGB agent who was head of assassinations. True, in Mexico City, but the Warren Commission knew that. I see headlines about the fact that, you know, there had been a tip to the FBI that someone might kill Oswald when he was in jail custody. They got dozens of those tips. So most of it's old news that people think is new because they're 25 years old and they've never read any of the previous news, and so they're just reporting it like that. But there's not a lot in here to jump up and down about if you're looking for real disclosures.
So did you see that Bill Ayers was under federal watch at the same time?
Yes, you know, so that's interesting. So Bill Ayers was under federal watch at the same time. There are a couple of little tidbits in here, as a matter of fact, along the way, just besides Ayers, that what I call aren't big for the assassination, but are interesting. So one of the things that happened in this case early on, the narrative got driven by the fact that Oswald, who was a committed leftist communist with a bit of anarchy thrown into his political meld, he had this unusual far-out left view of the world. He had gone to the Soviet Union and then had decided that they were no good. They had bastardized Marxism-Leninism, so he was going to go down to Cuba eventually, where Castro was leading the pure revolution. Now, when he was arrested for killing Kennedy, all the left, the far left as well, said, oh, well, of course, it can't be a leftist who killed Kennedy. So that guy, Oswald, who is out there in the streets of New Orleans handing out pamphlets to join a pro-Castro group and went to the Soviet Union, he must really be a right-winger, posing to be a left-winger. He must be working for the CIA or that. Now, that meant that the first book that came out saying it was a conspiracy and the CIA was probably involved and the government was behind Oswald was a book by a guy that was early Buchanan. He was always rumored to be a communist. These files have information about how Hoover and the FBI knew what a hardcore communist he was. He was living abroad in Paris at the time, wrote a book even before the Warren Commission was out. Mm-hmm. He was followed by a German leftist, this guy Joachim Yeston, who wrote a book, and then Mark Lane, the prominent attorney, who was a pretty hardcore left guy. So all the lefties came out in order to try to pin it on the government because they had to exonerate the assassin, in their view, who was far left, and they just couldn't accept that.
And we still believe a lot of the stuff that we now know did come from the Kremlin, this disinformation campaign.
That's right, because the Kremlin jumped on this. As a matter of fact, you bring up a good point that's often overlooked. It's hard to get people to focus on it, but I think what you just said is critical because you understand the history here, and that is that the Kremlin gets this assassination, they see it, and they have two responses inside the KGB and inside the political halls with Khrushchev. The first one is, are we going to get blamed for this? Is the CIA going to use this as a pretext to try to launch an attack against us because this guy lived here? So they were worried about that. Plus, Oswald, 7 weeks before the assassination, when he went to Mexico City to try to get to Cuba, had to stop at the Soviet mission twice. The minute they realized he had been a former Soviet defector, who do you think, Glenn, they had sit down with him in the meeting room? Two KGB agents. One of them, a guy called Kostikov, happened to be head of assassinations in the Western Hemisphere. So the CIA knew that, the KGB knew that, and they thought, we could be pinned for this murder. I don't think they did have anything to do with it, but they were worried about that. When that passed, they then realized the second phase entered, which is what you mentioned. the opportunity for mischief, propaganda. So they started to feed into the international press, the left-wing newspapers in Europe, the Italian papers, the French, all these stories about the CIA and what Oswald was up to, and it took hold. Things got repeated that were false so many times, people accepted them as facts.
So, Gerald, can I ask you a question? There's right now, we are seeing the same thing happening with Uranium One. We're seeing it with Fusion GPS. They were hired by the Kremlin. Kremlin is doing a massive disinformation campaign. One of the guys that met with Trump in the Trump Tower was former GRU, and his specialty was political disinformation and confusion campaigns in foreign countries. This is what they're doing by the government not going in and really opening up absolutely everything and doing a fair look at this. They're causing so many conspiracy theories. Can you speak to what can be done on this? Because these conspiracy theories are coming, a lot of them, from the Soviet Union or former Soviet Union, and they're killing us.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it's so interesting because they're almost impossible to stop. The only thing that tends to slow them up or trip them up or a little bit is what I call that light of day of the documents, the transparency, is opening up the files, seeing what's inside. There's no doubt about that. You're never going to stop them completely. I understand that. Even in the Kennedy case, if every document had been released yesterday as opposed to me telling you it's a lousy dump, it still wouldn't be case closed as I think it is for most people. But I agree with you that for the Soviets before and the Russians now, many of the same players or the second generation of the same players in power, they like to sow, and you're right, confusion. People ask the question over here naively the wrong way. Gee, were they trying to help Trump? Were they trying to help Hillary? Were they hurting one or the other? They love the fact of just making a mess out of it. Mm-hmm. They want to see us stumbling over ourselves and pointing fingers at each other.
Yep.
and starting the investigations. And the more that we are distracted, the more we go down that rabbit hole that they've helped create, they are just rubbing their stomachs because they're winning on that propaganda front.
Talking to Gerald Posner about the JFK release last few hours, really, they've been coming out. And Gerald, can you explain, on October 1st, right before the assassination, Oswald apparently contacted the Soviet embassy in Mexico. Do I have that story right? What was that about?
Yeah, so this is his second time to go to the embassy in Mexico, because what Oswald's done a week before, on the 25th of September, he took a Greyhound bus. He was not a guy with a lot of money. It only took him a few dollars to go from New Orleans to Mexico City, and that was because, Glenn, Mexico City was the only place with a Cuban mission, the closest spot with a Cuban mission embassy, that he could then get a visa to go to Havana. We didn't have any diplomatic presence for the Cubans in the U.S. after Castro took over in 59. So he goes down to Mexico City and he goes to the Cubans and says, hey, I'd like to get to Havana. And they say, no, why don't you go see the Soviets? Maybe they can help you. So he goes to the Soviets once and then twice. So the October 1st visit to that Soviet embassy, he sees these two KGB agents. He pulls out a gun at one point, and we know that because of the telexes that they send back to KGB headquarters that were only released in the last few years, and the accounts of those officers later on. He had a pistol with him. They didn't shoot him. They didn't even taser him, if they had tasers back then. They just sort of tackled him to the table and said, you're a crazy guy and get out of here. But he was a little volatile, but he was hanging out there, and the CIA clearly had him on their radar, not as a major guy, but as somebody that they
should
might
be watched.
Keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And so they've released, there's a bunch of redactions still. They want more time. They're taking 180 days to do what exactly, Gerald?
So now what they're saying is the CIA in the statement said that they issued yesterday, we intend to release all the files eventually, but we just want to make sure that we're protecting. So they're coming back and saying, we want some names. We want this part redacted. And they're going to have to decide, the Trump administration, Trump's going to have to decide whether he wants to go ahead and, in fact, say, yes, some of this material can be blocked or not.
Do you see any reason to block stuff that's, now 50 years old?
No, The only reason that I could see even taking a name out now is if you had somebody who had served us, the American interest, a foreigner who had provided us, was an informant for American intelligence, that person's still alive, and it might cost them, put them in some physical danger because the country that they're living in might not like that, then I don't think that name should come out right now, if that makes sense. But let me tell you, they are... The question, Glenn, that you would have, if I was sitting down with you and showing you some of these files, you would say to me, what the hell did they hold them for 54 years? Perfect examples are most of the new material that was released yesterday, not material that had been released before and they've taken out some of the redactions. We've never seen it before. They have a bunch of those documents. I'm going to say most of them, somebody's going to probably add them up and say, no, it's not more than 50%, but a lot of them are illegible. You cannot read them. And so that's the best copy they have. Who knows where the original is? That's what was turned over to investigating committees by the CIA, FBI, or whoever provided it. Why did they keep them classified for 54 years in a legible document? This is, for me, prima facie evidence, Exhibit A, if you want to say, this incompetent release yesterday of these documents from the JFK files is why I believe the government was incapable of killing JFK.
Great point.
Gerald, thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch. Thank
All
you.
Right, Glenn. Thank you.
The big question is, does this release get us another Gerald Posner book on JFK? Do we get a sequel? That's the big question. Maybe after 180 days, we'll have that answer. The original was called Case Closed, Lee Harvey Oswald and the Assassination of JFK. And if you can go to Posner.com, and he's at Gerald Posner on Twitter.
Nothing is more essential than protecting your home, but traditional home security can be punishing and expensive. There is a better way. Protect your home with SimpliSafe. If you've ever had home security, you know you're locked into a long-term security contract. You're on the hook for 3 years. Installation, if you've ever had to install it yourself, costs you a fortune. You're paying for that system all the time. And it's hardwired, which means they're going to tear up your walls. And it's usually somebody coming out and you have to sit there and it's just agonizing. Everything about it is, hello, Mr. 1971. SimpliSafe is hello, Mr. 2020, a wireless security system, no long-term contracts, you're protected 24/7, no hidden fees, the cost is $15 a month, that's three times less than the other guys, and there's no hassle. All you have to do is go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. You get a 10% discount if you order today when you go there, SimpliSafeBeck.com. If you want it in your home tonight, you can have it. You can just go to your local Best Buy. But if you don't have somebody stalking you tonight, you can just go to the website at SimpliSafeBeck.com and get an additional 10% off. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
I want to tell you an amazing story. I am an amateur historian and a collector of all kind of cool things, and I'm also a watch collector. And so I've been watching a story that has been out. Paul Newman had what is known as a Rolex Daytona, and I don't even know how much Daytonas cost. I don't even know, $50,000 or something. They're crazy expensive. And his Daytona is probably the most famous Daytona. It's the one with the three dials on it, and it's a racing watch. And he wore it back in the 1960s. And there are all these iconic pictures of him in his racing gear, in his race car, just looking like a man's man, wearing his Daytona watch. And so it's probably one of the more famous watches in the world and one of the most collectible watches. Well, there's a story about a guy who was in the watch business, and he was trying to find who has Paul Newman's watch. He finally got in touch after about a year or so, finally gets in touch with Paul Newman's daughter. And what happens from there is remarkable. And I hope to be able to finish this story next hour with you. Also, Pat is going to be joining us, and Bill O'Reilly is going to be joining us in after the top of the hour. So there is a lot to discuss coming up in the next few. Also, you don't want to miss the TV shows. If you haven't seen any of the TV shows this week, you need to. You can binge on them now. They're on demand at theblaze.com/TV. But we have hit all of the big stories with the chalkboard and made sense of your insane world. Check them out, theblaze.com/TV.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
21 people will be dead before this show is over today. Why? Because in America, 7 lives are lost every hour due to drug overdoses. It's not hyperbole to say that the current opioid epidemic is the deadliest drug crisis in all of American history. It is so bad that President Trump declared the crisis a national emergency yesterday.
Emergency. Unlike many of us, we've seen, and what we've seen in our lifetimes, nobody has seen anything like what's going on now. As Americans, we cannot allow this to continue. It is time to liberate our communities from this scourge of drug addiction. Never been this way. We can be the generation that ends the opioid epidemic. We can do it.
Okay, here's what you need to know. The opioid addiction is suffocating this country. The stats are truly horrifying. Overdoses killed more people last year than guns did, and they are doing so at a faster pace than the HIV epidemic at its peak. Now think of that. In 2015, 2% of deaths, 1 in 50 in the United States, are drug-related. Opioid addiction is so bad that it contributed to the U.S. life expectancy dropping for the first time in decades. Now, this plan is clunky. We're going to produce, quote, really tough, really big, really great advertising to discourage people from getting hooked in the first place, like Nancy Reagan. He said the plan would include a requirement that federally employed prescribers be trained in safe practices for opioid prescriptions, new federal initiative to develop non-addictive painkillers, and suspending a rule that currently prevents Medicaid from funding many drug rehabilitation facilities. Look, it's a step in the right direction. I don't like that this is a national emergency. Those things never go away, and it allows the federal government to do whatever it wants. It's not a good system. But the government knows that this is really bad. But you should know the government cannot end this epidemic. We as individuals are the only ones with a true power to end addiction. This is going to be a tough one. But ultimately, it falls on us to dig ourselves and our loved ones out of this opioid mire.
Friday, October 27th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly is joining us for a shortened period of time today just because of scheduling. Bill is here. I've got to cover several things. First of all, your thoughts on the opioid crisis, Bill.
Well, when I was studying at Harvard, you remember that, Becky?
Yeah.
You were up there with me in Cambridge?
Yeah, no, I went to Yale. I crossed the campus for about 20 minutes.
I actually did a paper on drug rehab, and this is the solution to the opioid problem, because all of this other business is not going to solve it.
Nope.
Might go down a little bit, but it's not going to solve it. It's forced drug rehabilitation. You take the market away. So how that works in certain places that do it, like Singapore, which is a fascist country, is that if you are caught committing a crime and you have heroin or opioids in your bloodstream, in addition to whatever sentence you get for your crime, you have to go to rehab, and that's inpatient rehab, all right? And the average sentence in Singapore is 22 months. So there are no drug addicts in Singapore because the cops know who they are. They bring them in, they test them,
and they send them to drug rehab for 22 months. There's no market. Could not do that here. ACLU be all over you. But you could do is a choice that you go to inpatient drug rehab, all right, or we give you a very stiff sentence for your crime. So most people would take the inpatient. And you've got to attack it on the market side. And then, you know, I've always said that any heroin dealer is not a nonviolent person. Any opioid dealer should get as much jail time as possible. A pusher should really go away. Now, that put me at odds with President Obama, who didn't see it as a violent crime or anything really that bad. I do.
I would suggest that we go the way of Portugal myself, which is a radical departure from everything else anyone else is trying, and it is working there in miraculous ways. Let me go to Uranium One. Bill, why was this informant who knows everything about this, why were they silenced by the Obama administration? And did this informant, was any of his work, was it available even to Congress in oversight?
Doesn't seem to be. It looks like Eric Holder shut this thing down almost 100% from any sunlight. News reports were non-existent. I didn't know about it. Did you know about it?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know about it.
I didn't know it.
Okay, and we're on it. I mean, that's what we do for a living. So the Justice Department tamped it down, and there's one guy who was on the street and who can tell you about why the Russians were bribing people and how they were bribing and all of that. But what the guy cannot tell you, and he can now, he's going to testify in front of Congress, so we'll get an idea of why the money was flowing from Russia into the USA to get uranium. Okay, but what we won't get, and what is the key to this story, is why were millions of dollars flowing into the Clinton Foundation at the same period of time?
Right. From Uranium One and Uranium One Kremlin-tied organizations. I mean, it's clear that this was a bribe or an attempted bribe. Clear.
Well, you got to establish that. And Bill Clinton got $500,000 to go to Moscow to speak. And then at this very time that the seven government agencies in America voted to allow the Uranium One deal to go through to Putin, there were seven. Hillary Clinton was only one of them, all right? Millions of dollars are flowing into the Clinton Foundation on donations from Russia and other, you know, concerns. So that's the story. That's really the story. You know, there are two stories separately. But why was the Clinton Foundation benefiting, and Bill Clinton himself? And why did Eric Holder shut this thing down so nobody could know about it?
So Donald Trump said that this was this is this generation's Watergate. I disagree. I think this is much bigger than Watergate.
You have to establish it, though, Beck. And it's not going to be easy to do that, because we don't have subpoena powers overseas. You can't go into Russia and say, why were you sending millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation? They're not going to answer your questions. What you can do, though, is basically build a case. It's a circumstantial case, but it's certainly worth doing, that this deal was rotten from the jump. And Eric Holder knew it. So did the FBI director, Robert Mueller, who's now the special counsel in front of trying to figure out what the Trump campaign did with Russia. Now, Mueller's got to be the first witness in front of the congressional committees.
Are we going to be able to get our uranium back?
No. No. And I have
so nobody goes to jail, and we've lost our uranium.
Sure about, I don't know if and nobody goes to jail. You used it to build a case. Putin wanted the uranium to make money. All right, we've established that. Putin wanted the uranium from the USA to go to Russia so he could sell it and make money. Because at that time, the Russian treasury was hurting. So that's why they did it. It's a money deal. We know that. But now we have to find out the two questions that I posed to you.
So let me switch to gears. Same kind of players. Fusion GPS. The New York Times now says that Clinton and or the Clinton campaign and the DNC lied to them for over a year and lied to the American people. They were responsible for the Fusion GPS dossier. They paid for it. Were also, Fusion GPS, also deeply in bed with the Kremlin. And they were the ones who helped arrange the people at that Trump Tower meeting. One of them, we now know, was a guy who was former GRU, which his specialty was political deceit and disinformation in foreign countries. And what's crazy is the FBI was aware of it. They knew that they saw the dossier. They must have known that this was funded by the Clintons and also had taint from the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union. And yet they hired them and used this document or this dossier to be able to get to the FISA court. How much corruption is there?
Boy, this is right up your alley, Beck. You got everything going. Man.
I mean, it is.
Is it right up
this is
alley? He loves this.
This is
but
bad.
You missed the biggest thing, Beck. You missed the biggest thing.
What?
Hillary Clinton comes out this week and says, I didn't know about this. I didn't know my campaign was paying for this dossier. How is that possible?
It's not.
You.
None of this is possible. None of this is possible. None of this.
To me. You are in charge of your campaign. Your campaign is spending money trying to get dirt on your opponent. It thinks it has the dirt through this phony dossier. And nobody comes and tells you this? Come on! When she said that this week, I went, are you kidding me?
Even when this whole thing, even when this dossier came out, nobody leaned over and went, you know, we paid for that. I mean,
yeah.
Come on!
Well, no. They had to go and tell her, ooh, we're going to have Trump in Moscow doing X, Y, and Z. This is great. And she said, well, nobody told me.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I mean, my God.
Unbelievable.
And that was it. That was the end. And the press goes, oh, that's right. Nobody told her. Oh, that's that's logical. Oh, my. Unbelievable.
Okay.
But wait, wouldn't the other side, though, say the same thing about the meeting with the Russian lawyers? I mean, that happened in the Trump Tower.
Why
didn't they go upstairs and tell
Dad? The meeting with the Russian lawyers. Stu, right?
Yes.
I'm talking to Stu?
Yes, you're talking to Stu.
The meeting with the Russian lawyers got 3 weeks of hysterical coverage.
True.
Hysterical, okay? Because Donald Trump Jr. got an email that said, please meet with Olga, or whoever her name was,
yeah.
Because she has dirt on Hillary. And Donald Trump Jr. goes, okay, I'll go meet with her for 15 minutes and see what she's got. 3 weeks!
Mm.
Okay? He didn't pay any money. He didn't do anything other than show up, and Olga didn't have anything. Now we have the Clinton campaign buying phony dossiers. And how much coverage did it get?
Very little.
2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is amazing.
All right. I'm going to let you calm down for a second. And then, because he's a little heated. Yeah. And we're going to come back because Bill is launching a lawsuit. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. If you travel for business, you know that it is a game of wins and losses. And if you fly into Philadelphia, just waiting for your bag. Massive loss. You save some money getting place, especially money that you actually will see. That is a huge win. And that happens every time with Upside.com. Upside has the absolute best prices available for flights, hotel, and rental cars. And it's because they bundle things. They've made deals with all of these guys that you choose. And you're rewarded for the choices that you make. So you say, I'm going to fly, you know, I want to fly at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to Florida, to Miami. Okay, great. Will you fly at 1 or at 3? Because we can save you X number of dollars. Yes or no? Great. I need to stay at this place because my convention or my meetings are happening here. Great. You can get here for this price. Or if you stay a block away, we can give you this price. Every time
You save your company money, and then you rack up cash as well. They also have these navigators. One recent Upside customer had a flight canceled, and while he was rebooking his flight, the navigator contacted the hotel and had them change his check-in day without charging any fees. So, you know, things happen, but they're there for you. Upside.com. Upside.com. I want you to visit there. Use the code BECK. You're going to get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon, because that's how you get money. Your company saves money, and every choice you make, you start racking it up with, like, gift cards to Amazon. Promo code BECK, minimum $100 gift card at Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com. Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So, Bill O'Reilly is here, and Bill, you have complicated my life, and I don't appreciate it. and I just want to ask you a tough question here. Is there any doubt in your mind that if you were lying to me, or if I found out that some of these things that are said about you were true, that I would turn on you hard?
No, and I would expect you to do that. Nobody wants to be deceived. So in order to protect you, I have to take some offensive action now, because enough's enough. And I've had my whole career altered and been smeared. And so now my team has said, well, if they say something untrue, we're going to sue them. So we have filed suit today against a man who made a bunch of crap up, and he's going to have to go through the system, and we'll see what the truth is.
Can you tell me what this affects, or what this is, or who this guy is?
It's more of the same. It's the same. I think I'm one of the only one in the, 100 people now who have been accused of harassment that continues to say, I didn't mistreat anyone. I didn't. And it doesn't matter what I say. These people are convicting of allegations, and the media does that. And then people react to what the media says. And I have no defense other than if you lie about me and in a public way, you are now going to be sued. And that's what we're doing. So we're going to post a suit on BillO'Reilly.com on, you know, the filing, and everybody can go there and see it. And we'll let the process play out. That's all I can do. I wish it would go away. I prayed it would go away. But it doesn't seem to be going away. So we're going to have to take some offensive action.
Okay, you're breaking up horribly here. I don't know if you're on a cell phone or if you're moving around.
No, I'm on a regular phone, Beck. Can you hear me clearly now?
I can now, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What would be the expected outcome of this? I mean, here's the problem, Bill. Everybody that I know of says, come on, man, nobody pays $32 million if you didn't do anything.
Okay, but why are you believing that?
Believing?
Why would anybody, because the New York Times printed it? The New York Times knows that I cannot, all right, speak specifically about anything because of legal restraints. They know that. We told them that. I can say that in their first article last April, they weren't even close to being accurate in what they printed about settlement money and things like that. I can say that. But they know that I'm hamstrung. So people believe what they want to believe, Beck. They believe what they want to believe. Okay, that's what it comes down to. So Killing England remains the number one selling book in the United States. BillO'Reilly.com has actually added premium members. So the people who like and respect me believe me. The people who do not like and respect me believe the worst. And then there's the middle, who don't really care. But they hear things. And then, you know, they can't check it out. How do they know what's true?
No, I think there's
one point. It is very dangerous, and this is what's happening in America, to take allegations as facts. That is dangerous.
So I would agree with you on that. And I think there is a large number of Americans that don't know that there is no way to verify. I'm one of these. I happen to know you, and I can verify some things that you have told me. But I care deeply about the issue, and I also am very concerned about, you know, witch hunts and this becoming the crucible.
One is underway, but there are two things here.
Quickly, I've got 30 seconds.
When it comes to women being mistreated, that's the best word, okay? Every American should want one thing, justice. Would you agree with that?
Yes, 15 seconds.
The other thing that's verifiable is I've been in the business 43 years. Never once was there a complaint filed against me with any HR in 12 different companies. Verifiable.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Paul Newman owned a Rolex Daytona, and Rolex Daytona is a very expensive Rolex, and I think they maybe start at, I don't know, $10,000, $15,000. They can go up to $50,000, and it's a very coveted watch, but it's coveted. The 1960s version is so coveted because Paul Newman made that watch so famous, because every picture that you ever see of him looking like a man's man in a race car, you will see him with that Rolex Daytona. And it wasn't an ad campaign. It was his watch. And Joanne Woodward gave it to him for a birthday and put on the back of it, "Drive safely, Joanne." So he wore it forever, and it became an icon. It is probably the most famous Rolex watch. Well, when he died, watch collectors started to say, what happened to Rolex watch? What happened to his Daytona? So one of the watch collectors and a guy who is part of an auction house, he knew that this thing would be worth a fortune. And so he started to try to get in touch with the family. It took him a year to get in touch with Paul Newman's daughter. And he said they had it on the schedule, and he called her up. And as soon as she got on the phone, she's like, oh my gosh. And she's crying. And he's like, are you okay? And she's like, yes, yes. But I think her dog had just gotten hit by a car or something had just really tragically happened. And so he had waited a year to talk to her. And he's like, maybe we can talk later. I'll let you go. So she calls him back about a week later. And she's really down to earth and really normal and nice. And he said, what happened to your dad's Daytona watch? And she said, well, he had a lot of them. And he said, no, the one that says drive safely on the back. And she said, oh, my boyfriend, he gave it to my boyfriend. And he was like, And she said, why? Is it worth anything? He said, yeah, I think it might be worth $1 million or more. And she said, oh. So she called up her boyfriend, and her boyfriend was cool about it. And they decided, okay, well, let's keep some of the money, but then let's give, you know, over X percent. We don't know what it is. Over X percent. We'll give it to dad's charity. So long story short, because there was more intrigue on actually getting the watch than just this, it finally goes up to auction. They auctioned it yesterday, Phillips Auction House. There were whispers that this could go for million plus. This was going to be an expensive Rolex. When the hammer went down, after 12 minutes of bidding, an anonymous donor on the phone paid $17,752,500 for Drive Safely, Joanne.
Wow.
Sold yesterday. Most expensive watch ever sold.
That's amazing.
That is incredible, isn't it?
Wow.
All right. Pat Gray has joined us now from Pat Gray Unleashed, which happens on the Blaze Radio Network right after this program. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Glenn.
What's on your mind today?
I'm so tired of racism and the racistness of mathematics and what it's doing
to minorities
all over the country.
Hold on. We started this show this morning with the racism of corn pops.
Oh, yeah.
Where one corn pop that was a little darker than the other corn pops, had clothing.
And it was the only one that was a janitor corn pop.
And the Kellogg's has apologized for that.
Of course.
Thank God.
What is the whiteness
of... business.
Whiteness of mathematics?
Whiteness of mathematics. Mm. Rochelle Gutierrez, who's a math education professor at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, just wrote that on many levels, mathematics itself operates as whiteness.
Mathematics. Now, hang on just a second, because... the entire universe is based on mathematics.
Now you see our white privilege. Now you get it.
So it's that deep. It's the entire universe.
Yes. Gutierrez focuses apparently on equity issues in mathematics. I gotta go get to equity issues in math. Anyway, she...
I can tell you. How much money do you have? I don't have that amount.
That's racist.
I want your money.
Yes. She focuses especially on how race, class, and language affect teaching and learning. Mm-hmm. And she also wrote that the people who get credit for doing and developing math, who are capable in math, and who are seen as part of the mathematical community, generally are white. Nothing more racist than that. Nothing more racist.
I would like to disagree just based on... Now, I did go to school on the West Coast, so...
First thought was Asians.
Asians. Now, I grew up in the West, so there were just more Asians. But when it comes to, you know, playing any, or should I say, all frickin' instruments, and math, it is Asian.
Oh, and Asians out-earn. They outscore white people on tests. They earn by a large portion
people. They seem to do really well... specifically in math, do people from India.
Yeah.
They're also good mathematicians.
Now, that could be because I don't know if you've ever met an Asian parent, but generally speaking, they get to business quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, you are going to apply yourself. And so it could be, you know, nothing to do with race, obviously. It might just be, you know, I don't know, they have different expectations.
My concern right now, though, is can you imagine if there's an African-American on an American Airlines flight, which itself is racist.
What white planes a lot of times.
And if that African-American is sitting next to somebody solving quadratic equations, you might as well have used the N-word.
Yeah.
You just might as well.
Right.
It's over.
It's true.
Just burn a cross in there?
Right.
Just put a cross in their heart and just set it on fire.
American Airlines flight to Charlottesville.
Also, the president wished a very happy birthday to the great Lee Greenwood this morning. Did you see that tweet?
No, I did not.
You and your beautiful song have made such a big difference. Make America great again. The only problem is the birthday boy was Lee Greenwood, the lawyer from Washington, D.C., not Lee Greenwood, the singer. Lee Greenwood, the singer, is not celebrating his birthday. He's finally wrapping up his set from the Rally for America 2003.
Wow, that was a long coming joke.
That was a long...
Anybody who was there, they appreciate that joke. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Pat.
Pat Gray Unleashed, coming up in just moments on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. Hopefully he'll be featuring that entire Lee Greenwood performance from the Rally for America so he can actually just go home and not have to do the show.
I have to tell you, what's the world going to be like when the people who are... in school now, matriculate and become the scientists, the doctors, the designers of tomorrow. When they can't do math, when they haven't been held to somewhat of a high. I mean, we become the old Soviet Union. You know, the Soviet Union did this.
They went and they went after all of the business people. They went after all of the watchmakers. They went after all of the mathematicians, all of the farmers. They went after everybody who was an elite. That led to starvation. Literally, they had a hard time keeping time in Russia because there were no watchmakers and nobody knew how to make them. This is foolishness. It is foolishness. All right.
How many countries has that happened in, too? I mean, you know, Zimbabwe is another case of that.
Venezuela.
Ukraine, Venezuela. I mean, this is the same pattern over and over again. It's this some sort of racial class revenge against whoever the old people were. And you take out all these, you're trying to implement some crazy system. I mean, certainly this is China as well. And you do that, and what you wind up with is thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions dead. Because you interrupt these things and you don't care about the consequences. That's a terrible way to run a country and to run a society. And it's been proven that over and over and over again. Yet still people want to do it. There's always somebody who can figure it out. There's always somebody. I mean, this is coming. You're doing the chalkboard next week on what is socialism. Really looking into not just the stuff that we talk about now, but I mean, really looking into the history. Has it been tried? Why does it always fail when it does? And, you know, this is you go a real deep dive next week. But looking at just the examples, you see the same thing happening, the same disasters happening, whether the intentions are terrible, like an Adolf Hitler or Stalin, or the intentions are really good. There were really good people who thought this would just be nice. We had an example of this with a pizza restaurant this week.
Yeah.
And it just fails every single time, and yet it gets another chance after another chance after another chance. It's insane.
It's the story of the Pilgrims, stories of Jamestown. It quite honestly is the story of the early Mormons. The Mormons said, let's just put all of the money in a big pile and we'll all just do, you know, God's united order and we'll all just... Did not work. Did not work. It doesn't work. And it doesn't matter if you have good intent or bad intent. It doesn't work. And as Stu said, all next week, we are doing a special on the chalkboards on what is socialism. And I urge you to watch with your children. Watch this. We're trying to make this, you know, I said to the writers, everything that we do, I want to make sure that the people who don't like us and don't agree with me will say, well, that was fair. That was fair. And when it comes to socialism, this is really hard because capitalism seems mean. Capitalism seems, you know, like you're just going to leave people out in the cold. Well, why not just do this? Well, because it's been tried and it doesn't work. And we show you first the compassionate socialists, the people who really tried to make it work because they had real compassion. We later then get into the people like Stalin and Mao and Hitler, because the others are communists, but Hitler was a socialist. It was national socialism. So it doesn't matter what the intent is. The math doesn't work. All right. If you are trying to sell your home and you need it sold on time and you want it sold for the most amount of money, then what I want you to do is go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. This is a service where we have gone through and found the top agents, 1,000 agents all across the country. And we looked for the ones that are, A, selling houses, and they have a marketing system in place. Because what I found is it really is about, it's about marketing. It's about, do they have enough traffic coming to them from elsewhere to where they can sell people's homes quickly? But more importantly is not just can they get the job done, is their bond their word? Their word, their bond. Can they shake hands on a deal and be trustworthy? The agents are fully vetted and handpicked by my team at realestateagentsitrust.com for their record, their skill, and thousands of families have already put realestateagentsitrust.com to the test, and the results are there. You can look at them and read all about it. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Helping families who are moving to another area, if you don't know anything about that city, we can help you there. If you want to sell your home and buy a new home, they can help you.
Whatever you need to do, get your home sold on time and for the most amount of money at realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
A couple things. During a recent visit in Iraq, Mercury One met with His Holiness the Baba Sheikh. He is the religious leader of the Yazidi people. He informed us that one of their camps had been destroyed in a fire. It had 18 families in it, and it was a total loss. So we connected with our partners there on the ground, and we brought in supplies, and we rebuilt and restocked their camp. And you have this camp with rugs and furniture and, you know, small appliances and food and everything else. It was a really small gesture of support for the community. But to those families, this was everything. This is something really, really small that we have done. But I want you to know it can be done, and friends are being made and alliances are being made. The Nazarene Fund was, you know, started to help people, and you have helped nearly 50,000 people, and 100% of your donations to the Nazarene Fund has gone directly to those in aid, and we're about to up our commitment to this, and we'll tell you about it here in a few days and a couple of weeks, perhaps. One of the reasons that we can do that is every year we have a ball and a raffle. And this year we're giving away a brand new 2017 GMC Canyon pickup truck. And you can buy a raffle ticket for $100. It's all tax deductible. So, you know, anything you're given, $100. And that goes to help Mercury One pay for all of the things. So when I say on the air 100% goes, it means 100%. Because this pays to keep the lights on and everything else. And if we can just sell out all of these tickets for the raffle, Mercury One will be set for the next year. And that would be very helpful. So if you would like to either come to the ball, which is happening, I think, the weekend before Thanksgiving here in Dallas, you could find out all about it. Or if you just want to get a couple of the raffle tickets, we sure would appreciate it. $100 per raffle ticket. You can walk away with a brand new GMC Canyon pickup truck. It's mercury1.org/M1ball. That's mercury1.org/M1BALL.
Restrictions apply. Employees are eligible.
No, I don't think that's, you know, is really not, it's not worth much more than the headline, but there is a little bit more to it. Intruder breaks into a 91-year-old home. 90-year-old woman is awakened at the middle of the night. He apologizes and flees after he sees her naked. Now, her husband, Jack, was in bed. He said, "My wife of 91 years old got out of bed. She's stark naked. Here's this 20-something guy looking at a 91-year-old woman. That'd be enough to make him faint. It is quite a shock."
Glenn Beck.